Today's daf is daf mem vav. We're holding the very last line on mem hey amid beis, where the Gemara asks, "Boy Rav Huna Bereid Rav Yeshua." However, this is directly related to the Gemara immediately preceding that. So if you go up six lines from the bottom of the Amid, the Gemara asks, "Ad heichan chut hashedra." Back in the Mishnah, we said that one of the 18 treifas is nishbar chut hashedra, and we had a machlokes yesterday. How much is the nifsak of the chut hashedra, whether it was berubai or whether it was a filunikev? And even in berubai, we had a discussion whether it's roiv of the oir or roiv of the moyach. But ultimately, the chut hashedra, which is the spinal cord, doesn't go all the way down to the tail of the animal. It only goes down about two-thirds or three-quarters of the animal. And from there, you have what we call the parashais. The parashais are individual nerves that now emanate from the chut hashedra. And these go at least for three groups of them, three groups of parashais. We already saw the pictures yesterday, and that is after the chut hashedra ends, then you have a much, much thinner nerve extensions, which go out in three directions, one to the right of the animal, one to the left of the animal, and one that goes towards the tail. But it's not just one long nerve that goes to the tail, because another few inches later, again it splits up to the right and to the left and further to the tail, and then once again at least a third time, perhaps even more. But our Gemara only goes into the three parashois, maybe they should be called three parashios. I think Mara doesn't have a yud, so therefore parashio seems to be the proper term. But the point is that you have the nerves coming to the right and to the left, and then further down to the right and to the left. So you have this three times altogether. So says the Gemara, "Ad heichon chut hashedra, where does chut hashedra end? Omer of Yehuda Mishmuel, ad bein haparashios, until you get to that parsha of the bein haparashios, that area which is now post the chut hashedra. Chut hashedra has 13 tzalois, which are 13 ribs on each side. When those ribs are done, basically the chut hashedra is done, and then from there it branches out into these bein haparashios, into these nerves. Okay, now Rav Dimi Bar Yitzchak wanted to travel to Beichoy Zoy, and he asked Rav Yehuda, "Do me a favor, please. Can you show me exactly what is the Bein HaPrashas and what the status is?" So he originally brought one gedi, and that was too fat, and therefore you couldn't see it. Then he brought another one, which was too skinny, and you couldn't see it. So finally, the last two lines, Ammalei to Agmarach Gemara, I'm going to tell you what the rules are. Hachi Amar Shmuel Ad Acha Streifa, until the first parsha, it's strafe. The shlishis, the third one, is ksheira, is kosher. Shnei, the one in between, any idea? I don't know what the halacha is. So Naboy Rav Huna Bar Yeshua, when we said ad until we got to the parsha harishoina, the question is, what do we mean? Is it ad the ad bechlal or idoma ad veloy ad bechlal? Are we including that first parsha as being totally treifa, or only until then? So going into the pictures, it's very, very simple. You don't really need a picture for this. Just picture in your mind, meaning that we start now this three groups of the parashois, where the nerves are now extending to the right and to the left. So we said in the name of Shmuel, until you get to the first one, ad achas is treifa. So the question is, do we mean until that first nerve section is treifa, but from there and on, no longer does it go with the same hilchois tarfus that we had by the chut hashedra, which, as you recall, was that it's nifsak beroiv. The question was beroiv of the spinal cord, or was it roiv of the oir that surrounds the spinal cord? So is it until that first parsha, and then from the first parsha and on, then it's all basically, first we're going to have it's a shaila, and then it's going to be kosher, or are we already including the first parsha as well within the cheshbon that we said that it is treifa? So clearly, Shmuel said, ad achas, until the first one, it's treifa. Does that mean until the first, but before we begin on the first? because between the first and the second, there's a 2 or 3 inches. Between the second and third, 2 or 3 inches. Third and further are even more inches. So those 2 or 3 inches, what we will call the first parsha, between number one and number two, that area, is that also included what Shmuel said, that is treif with the same hilchos chut hashedra, or maybe ad v'loyad b'chlal, only until the first parsha. But once you get into the first parsha, now you're between one and two in those 2 or 3 inches, no, the halacha doesn't apply anymore. So what halacha does apply? It's a sofik, ich weiß nicht, because that's what Shmuel said. Hanachas is treifa, shlish is ksheira, shnia, eini yoideh. So let's look at the top Rashi. The Gemara said, ad v'ad b'chal, dim ad v'lo yad b'chal, zok Rashi. Ad v'ad b'chal, v'ochi komar, min haroish v'ad bein ha-parsha harishoyna, b'chol oisoy, meaning b'chol oisoy parsha, is b'chlal treifa. Do we say that the tarfis of the chut hashedra extends not only the chut hashedra itself, but beyond that into the whole first bein ha-parsha is being bein one and two. Oydu ma'ochi kamar, ad v'loyad b'chlal treifa. And therefore, when you start the parashois, that's a brand new parsha, so to speak. The whole hilchos tarfis by chut hashedra ends when you reach parsha number one. So what are the halachas now? So shlishis is kusha, shnia ain't the idea, and who are the rishoina the mesapkale? Rishoina has the exact same sofik as shnia, because since we're saying it's ad v'loy ad, since we're saying ad v'loy ad b'chlal, so we're cutting the chut hashedra and the hilchos chut hashedra right before we begin that first parsha. So therefore, the whole first parsha itself is a sofik. What is the din? Just like number two, says Rashi. Umeila mishtaba v'li itzrech lefirushe rishoina ushnia eini yodea. Really, to be absolutely correct, we should have said in the Gemara, according to this tzad, that ad v'loi ad bechlal, that it's not only the shnia which is a sofik, even though rishoina is a sofik, because rishoina is no longer included within the no longer included within the parasha that we're saying, that it's with just like the chut hashedra. We're saying ad v'loy ad b'chlal, until there but not further. So the same suffix that we have by number two, we have the same suffix by number one. The kivin the omer vade treifa ad achas. Since we're saying it's vade treifa until you reach that first parasha, v'loy hi b'chlal, and the first parasha is not included. M'chlal demikan v'shli aviad shlishin mesapkele. That means that the whole Beina parsha between 1 and 2. And between 2 and 3, Zasofik, I don't know. It's only when we get to number 3, I know for sure that it's kosher. Says Rashi, Einachanami, it could have said, would have said, should have said, Rishoinu Shnia are both Sofik. Chodaminayu, Denokat, we only chapped on one of the two. And we chapped on Dafka number 2, Deloiteima Shnia Kishlishis Lakula. Because if I would say number 1 happens to be the Sofik, then I would say, just like shlishis is kosher, then number 2 is also kosher. So therefore, what we said is number 2 is a suffix. And since we hold ad v'loy ad b'chlal, you understand on your own that the suffix will extend not only in number 2, but even in number 1, because only until number 1 do we have a clear cut halacha that it's still chut hashedra dinim, and therefore we still have to go basar the psikas hashedra, which is a shear of roiv, like we had yesterday. So bottom line is, until where did Shmuel mean when he said, ad achas treifa, ad v'ad b'chlal, which would include that whole first parasha between 1 and 2, or is it ad v'loy ad b'chlal, until number 1, and not further? Boy Rapapa builds on this, and he says, im tim t'loyma ad, v'loy ad b'chlal, if you're going to tell me, taka, that the Hilchos Tarfis that Shmuel said ends by number 1, what is the definition of number 1? Pi Parsha Mahu, meaning where the first nerves extend from to the right and to the left, that's the Pi Parsha, where it comes out, is that still considered to be still the Ad, the Loi Ad Bechlal, that is not considered to be part of the Din of Tarfis that Shmuel said? Maybe it's now part of the Suffolk. Or Efshin, no. Maybe I would go and say that Ad V'ad B'chlal, just like prior to number 1 is a fresher treifa. The whole 1 to 2 is treifas, and then the Pia Parsha is also treifa. By Rabbi Yirmiyah, imtin tloim ad v'ad bechlal, if I'm going to go and include it, Parsha Atzma Mahu. What means Parsha Atzma? Parsha Atzma, Rashi says, is pitzulim. Pitzul means if it got broken off. So if one of those three fell off, in particular now we're talking about of number one, if that breaks off, even though I said ad v'ad bechlal, so that not only until number one, but in fact between one and two, all of that is included in the tarfis. What happens if one of those legs, one of those nerves, breaks off? So the rest of the so-called continuation of the spinal column, the spinal cord, that continues fine. But what happens if one of the feet on the right or the left, that broke off? Question is, does that make a treif? Is mau? Is tar shema? The choyra can be pushed to the final shayla because it said in the braisa, ha parsha tidoin kibosar. The parsha, that parsha that comes down, that is like basar, just like if you were to shecht an animal and you find that some of the chaylev in the animal, some of the fats, or some of the basar in the animal happens to have cuts in it and has punctures and has, that's not a problem. As long as it's not one of the vital organs that our Mishnah has listed, like a lev, like a kaved, like a rea, the fact that there happens to be a problem with some of the basar in the animal, maybe you should be careful not to eat from it. There might be an infection, but it's certainly not treifa as a result. So therefore, says the Gemara, ha-parsha, meaning that pia parsha, is l'choira, or the, not the pi, the pitzulim, that foot, that nerve, that goes to the right, to the left, if it gets cut off, says the Gemara, it's like busters. In other words, it's not treif. My la parsha rishoina ushniya, aren't we talking about that first leg of the parsha shoina, or the second? And therefore, we can be poshet the shaila that in fact is not a siman tarfis, which will lie. It's talking about shlishis. It's talking about by the shlishis where we know the whole shlishis is kosher. So therefore, if that piece of nerve falls off to the right or to the left, it's also kosher, not a problem. So therefore, all of these shailas that we have at the top, the Gemara has not been poshet in terms of what does the ad achas include. Does it mean only till the first parsha? Does it include the entire first parsha between 1 and 2? Does it include the pitzulim that come off? Does it include the pi haparsha itself? All of these shailas remain up in the air. But all of that is vis-a-vis a behemah. Now let's go to an oif. What's the stat of an oif? Oif also has a chuta shedra. And until where would the chuta shedra make this oif treif? Is ba'oif rabiane oimer ad lematam and agafayim, prishlokish omar ad bein agafayim. The word agafayim is like the word kinofayim. Kinofayim are the wings. And the wings, of course, of the come out from the back of the birds. And if you can just think of it in your own mind, where the wings emanate from the birds. So according to Rish Lakish, where they begin to, where the wings, if they stretch them out, and you see they come out of the body of the fowl, of the bird, that point is where the chuta shedra ends. So anything above that, you have the chumris of our Mishnah of tarfis. Anything below that, you have nothing to worry about. So that was Rish Lakish. What Rabbi Yonah says, even the matur nekvayim, even below the agafayim, the halacha, the chuta shedra still applies. He doesn't say how far down lematam negafayim, but even beyond where the wings extend from the bird, the cord continues to have the same halacha. Make sure it doesn't become treif. Now the Gemara tells us a story that Omar Ula havekim nekami de ben Pazi. I was there standing in front of ben Pazi, va'aisu lekamei oifa, and they brought an oif to him to be boidik, is it kosher or is it not? Ubodak ad ben agafayim. He went to his boidik to the point where the two wings emanate from the fowl, from the bird, v'sholach leid benasiyah, and just at that moment, as he's being boidik ad ben agafayim, a police officer comes in to summons him that he has to come to the Beis Hanasi 1, 2, 3 because he needs him for whatever. And become the Azot. So he went immediately. He didn't waste a moment. Now the problem is, he stopped, if you will, perhaps in the middle of his job. Velo Yadana says now, Ula, I don't know what the story is. that Ben Pazi, in fact, paskin like Rish Lakish, you only have to be boidik ad ben argafayim. Once ben argafayim, you find that the chut hashedra is all complete, nothing more to worry about. Or in mishum kavan nesia, or really he was intended to continue on being boidik lamatim ben argafayim, and maybe when he comes back in an hour or two, he will continue. But he had to rush out because he was being summoned by the nasi, and he had no choice; he couldn't waste a moment. So there's also Gibla Mashala, whether we paskin like Rabbi Yanai, or we paskin like Rish Lakish, Abbein Agafayim, or Lematven Agafayim.
According to the Sefer, it says, according to the Agos Ashri, is the bone that the wings attached to is called the Agafayim. It's the name of the bone.
Okay.
It's not the wings themselves, but there's a bone attached to.
I apologize, but Rashi doesn't seem to say that way. If you look at the Rashi, where's the Rashi? Parshois. Kedishomain bliatvei l'tesvayta bein agafayim b'suloi tina kebosor anan zorek l'mat b'lup add the mat. You see, if you look at the Rashi, six lines into the middle of the wide lines, Rashi says
adamata
mekenofav. So kenofav means the wings. It doesn't mean the bones, but the wings. But fine, if you like, if you put that shot, that's fine with me.
Those ashri,
it's fine. I'm very happy with that. And based on that, we're going to continue on. Zukti moravaita, nitla hakoved. In our mission, it says that another one of the tefis is that if the koved, the liver, is missing, v'lo nishtayer heimenu klum, nothing remains, zero. The whole liver has dissolved, removed, and there's nothing remaining. Then it's a siman tarfus. Is a masha from that? If there's at least a masha who left, you're okay. Hanishtayer hemeniklum kshedah, meaning that it can regenerate and rejuvenate and restore, go back to its old glory of this covet. And mashma avagavli avikazayis, since it says in the lashon hamishnah, v'nishtayer hemeniklum, is masha. All you need is a misala, twice, like an adasha, like a quarter or a tenth of a kazais. As long as you have a little bit, it can regenerate. Avgavle kazais, even though it's not a kazais. The problem is vatanan. We have a stira, because from Yetshem and another 8 days, we're going to learn on Daf Nun Dalid, that the Mishnah is going to enumerate over there the Elu HaKshayrois. Till now we had the Trefois. The following are the Ksheirois. What does it say in the Mishnah? Nitl HaKovi B'nishtayir Heimena Kizayis Ksheira. Even though the entire kovet has dissolved, it's no longer around. But it's not the entire. There's a kezayis. There's a kezayis and it's kosher. So in our Mishnah, we said that the shear is even a mashu. Lo nishtayim men a klum. The other Mishnah says the shear is a shear kezayis. Is a chayri, we have a stira between the two Mishnayis. Everyone says a stira, it's a machloikis. Rav Yosef lekasha, Rav Chiya, Rav Shimon bar. Harab Chia, Harab Shimon bar Rebbe. It depends who is saying what. One is Rab Chia, one is Rab Shimon bar Rebbe. Ki hot Rab Chia zorikla, Rab Shimon bar Rebbe matfila. Now Rashi has two pshatim. The easy pshat is the first pshat of the Rashi, where Rashi says ki hot Rab Chia zorikla. That means if you had a situation where you had a shaila, what was the shaila? We opened up the entire animal. We see that of the kaved, unfortunately, 90% of it has dissolved, but there's still a little bit left, and that little bit left is more than zero, but it's less than a kizayis. Well, that's where the machloikis is between the two mishnayis. According to our mishnah, as long as they're abyssala, it's kosher, it can regenerate. According to the other mishnah, no, it's got to be a full kizayis. See, this was in between. In other words, it was only a mashu, it was not a kizayis. Reb Chiya would go and take such a behema, and Zorakli, he would say, throw it out. It's not kosher, you cannot eat it, it's treif, there's no kaved left. That's zgunish. You have to have a kesais. Rav Shimba Rebbe Matbullah. Rav Shimba Rebbe said, what? You can go and take this animal and enjoy it, and go and do like all the people have started in Adisnaya Minik. On Friday nights, you can go and make 28 different dips, and you could dip it in, you could dip it out, and it's delicious, it's givaldic. Oh, in other words, he holds that even though it was not a kezayis, it's kosher. The simonech and the simon to remember who holds what. Reb Shimba Rebbe Ashirin Mekamtzi. Reb Shimon was the son of Rebbe. As we know, Rebbe was one of the people that was one of the wealthiest people in Jewish history. He and together with Antoninus, right? Like Poskim al Shulchanim, like Tznoin, etc. Like Hagshamli Meisachama, etc. Anyway, so you would think that Reb Shimon bar Rebbe, who comes from a house of great wealth, then he would also be nizer to go and throw this animal out and say it's a sofik treifa. But no, not below. So he gives him tight. Everybody can go and cut it up and enjoy it. So the Lashon Ashirim Mekamtza means Ashirim are thrifty. And many times that's how they become Ashirim, because they don't waste their money on Narishkeiten, but rather, as when I was a kid, we used to learn, a penny saved is a penny earned. Don't just waste and throw out your money. Anyway, so that's the Parshat Pshat, that according to Reb Chiya, it was a Safi Tarfis. Zorikly, he threw it out. Reb Shimon bar Rebbe holds, no, it's kosher, and Matpila. Rashi, whoever says, I prefer a second shot. Why? Because if the Gemara wants to tell us that according to Reb Chiya, it's treif, and according to Reb Shimon bar Rebbe, it's kosher, shouldn't it have used those words of Isser Veheter? Sorry?
Asr, yeah.
So why does the Gemara use this term of Zorik and of Matpila? And therefore Rashi prefers another pshat, which is just the opposite. What's just the opposite? That Reb Chiya, the other, let's start with Reb Shimon bar Rebbe. Reb Shimon bar Rebbe felt that the kovet is very, very healthy. And it's at least as healthy, if not more healthy, than the beef or the meat of the behemah. And he felt that this was really special, even though it wasn't meat. But nevertheless, this is not only a vital organ, but it's also a very nourishing gishmak part of the body of the animal, which gives you nutrients and minerals, and it's really fantastic. And that's why Reb Shimon bar Rebbe Matpila. Not only that, he felt that this was so essential, not only for a human being to eat because of its nourishment, but it's essential for the body of the animal. And therefore, to make sure that this animal can continue to survive and regenerate, it needs to have a full share of a kezias. If it does not have a full share of a kezias, then Reb Shimon bar Rebbe would go and, so to call, he would banish it. He would say, don't eat from it anymore. Ah, so it's just the reverse of what we said before. Before we said Reb Shimon bar Rebbe felt that you can eat from it, no problem, not below, take it, even though it has less than a kezias left, this is good. According to this new pshat, no, Reb Shimon bar Rebbe, matpila, he was so attached to the idea of eating kove because of its nourishing qualities, and therefore he and his family, they would go and eat from it, even though this was considered to be perhaps less costly than the meat. Ashirim Mekamtzin. Ashirim go and buy the cheaper one, because the cheaper, it's less carbs and less calories and less fat and who knows what, and therefore it's all
less
wonderful
chicken.
About it. Sorry?
Less chicken,
okay.
So why Reb Chiya throw it away then?
Translating the concept.
How many, who have we explained so far?
I'm sorry, Rebbe.
Reb Shimon bar Rebbe. Now, Reb Chiya, on the other hand, he said, I don't believe in all of this. Meat is meat. Any vital organs in the body, that's great for the body of the animals, but it has nothing to do with me. And therefore, when he would get kovet, he would throw it out. Not necessarily throw it out literally, he just means he would he would not give it that same...
He wouldn't cherish it.
Wouldn't cherish it. Thank you. I cherish your comments. He would not cherish it like Reb Shimon bar Rebbe did, because he felt that this is second hand to a real piece of meat. He wouldn't go and give a piece of liver for the main course at your Sudas Melachim, because, okay, you can give it if you want, together with an Aymet Zvibel, you can give it as a first course, second course, and that wouldn't be the major course. As Zorikla, he kind of dismissed it. That would be a good term. Because he dismissed it, so you're going to tell him that there happens to be the kovet doesn't have a full kezias. He said, I'll say your kezias, nish kezias, your kovet, nish kovet. He didn't make a ganzet tzimis about it, because as far as he's concerned, this was not to be cherished anyway. He was dismissive thereof. That being the case, he said, even if it doesn't have a kezias, it's also good, because the payment needs a kovet like I need a kovet. Big deal. That's how Rashi learns. So let's take a quick look at Rashi, so you should all believe that what we're saying. You see, Rashi is about four lines before the big, wide lines down below. Zorek lo zot Rashi, lebehema, shlinishtai bo kezayis min hakoveit, the kasova treifa. This is the first pshat of Rashi, that according to Reb Chiya, if the behema had less than a kezayis min hakoveit, he felt that it was treifa, and he said, just throw it out. On the other hand, Reb Shimon bar Revi, he ate it. In the good old days, they didn't just go and eat that plain piece of meat or the plain piece of covered or whatever. Everything they ate was always with something, some sort of relish on the side. Today, together with the meat, you'd have the ketchup, or you'd have your sauerkraut, or you'd have your coleslaw, or whatever. So everything that they ate was always with a tibble, choymitz being vinegar, or charoises. I always thought you only have charoises on Pesach, but I guess. Wow. Anyway, kashamat. No, chiev to be matam.
Rabbi, I remember you said, arba kosot when you say.
Yeah, you like
that. I was laughing. I know. Laughing.
You're still laughing, no?
Yeah, I still remember.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Anyway, so that was the first pshat of Rashi. Avul nir be'enai. Rashi says, I don't really like that pshat. To be isv heter toru for mechshah haveshayach lemisni. Zorik and matpel leshayach. Why are we talking about Zorik that he would dismiss it and matpel he would go and toivel? He'd be matpel and with dips. It should go and say that it's also a mutter. And therefore, mistav the hochi kama. Punkt verkehrt. Reb Chia Zorik lo lekovich shul kol behem of lo yoichloi. That lo yhave choshevlei. When he would get a delivery of meat from the meat market, as soon as he would go and see certain pieces, such as the kovet, he would dismiss it and perhaps even throw it into the wastebasket. He said, that's a goodish. When's the last time you ate the moyach of an animal? When's the last time you ate the lave of an animal? These things are not eaten. Do you eat the raya of the animal? So he said, the kovet is the same thing. He would dismiss it. He said, sinish from here. And he would throw it out. Reb Shimon, on the other hand, matpale the afal gavdala basarhu, even though it wasn't real meat, ka'ochale mishem bri usa, he felt that this is healthy. To kasava neshama tluya bai, that the neshama of the animal is totally in this kaved, and therefore this is very healthy. Kedekaimelam brachas kol nefesh meshiv nefesh. You eat part of the animal that's part of the neshama, the nefesh of the animal. That's meshiv nefesh.
It's good. For the person,
exactly. We had the same concept, Rashi reminds us about 2 weeks ago. If you really want to be gesund, you go and cut out a little piece of the besat savor when it's still full of blood, because you have to go and salt it and all the rest. But nevertheless, it has all of the chiyus of the animal in that besat savor.
The chayut,
exactly right. And hilkachim loy nishtayer kazayis. And now this is the key point for us. It says Reb Shimon Rebbe, if he didn't have a kazayis left the halas arucha, she yachser v'yirpa treifa, because kovid is so essential to the gesundheit of the health of the animal and the health of the people that are eating from this. It better have a kazayis to be a lahalis arucha to go and remedy itself, to regenerate, to rejuvenate, so that it will become gesund again. But otherwise, if it didn't have that kazayis and it's not going to regenerate, then it's treif. However, the Reb Chia loy boiked el halas arucha el shiur report. They only need abisal mokim el mokim talya demar. We're going to talk about the mara shortly. Shiur be mokim mara beinan kila kaman. Even he would agree that although you don't need a kazayis, but it does have to be that the kovet and the mara are next to each other, so the mara will help the kovet in regenerating. We'll talk about that in another moment or two. Anyway, the point is, so we have two separate pshatim in the Gemara. According to the first pshat, Reb Chiya was agrisa machmir, and when he found this type of animal where the kovet was almost totally dissolved, except for a mashu, so that's not enough. It has to have a full kizayis. Otherwise, it's treif, zorikla, and he threw it out. Shimbar Rebbe said, no, even though we don't have a full kezayis, matpulos is kusha, even though it was a shayla, but a shirim mekamtzin. That was the first pshat. Second pshat of Rashi is just the opposite. Reb Chiya was very dismissive of the kovet. In a regular, normal, kosher animal, when they would go and bring him a major meat delivery, which included not only the meat, but also the kovet and other parts of the animal, so this he would go and dismiss it and throw it out. He said, it's not for human consumption. Throw it out for the dogs or somebody else. This is not a choshev, a piece of meat. Well, according to Shimon bar Revi, no, this is very choshev. Yeah, okay, it's not the meat, but you know how much nutrients and minerals and how nourishing it is for the body. And therefore, as far as Shimon bar Revi, since this is such an essential part of the body, if in fact 90% has dissolved, we don't have a kazayis, That's no good. That means the behemah could not live, and I won't be able to eat from the behemah and the kaveh because this cannot regenerate. It's got to have a minimum of a kazayis that it regenerates, so it gives nutrients to the body and gives nutrients to the people, and therefore make sure it has a kazayis. Reb Chiya said, well, it's traced my kaveh, your kazayis, nish kazayis, your kaveh, nish kaveh. As soon as I get the cover, they throw in the garbage anyway. So therefore, as far as he's concerned, as long as it's abyssal, shenzayin good, don't worry about it, everything will be fine. And we continue on to the next shtickle. Zukti moravaitahu pulmasa. What's a pulmasa, says Rashi? Chayil ha-shultoin. This is the military that belongs to the government. So the government has an army, it has a military, and it was coming to the city of Pumpadisa. For some reason, Rabbi Rav Yosef figured armies and governments, that's not for me, and Orkur Rav Rav Yosef, and they decided to flee to another town, to another place. Pogabu Rav Zeira, and Rav Zeira met them. Why didn't Rav Zeira also run away together with them? So Toysa says, because Rav Zeira had a certain degree of what they call in Israel, protexia. What was his protexia? His father was a gaba of the Melech. Look at the Toysa's Arukoi, five lines into the wide lines down below. Why didn't he run away with Rabbi Rav Yosef? Because his father was the gab of the Malachiah. For 13 years. So therefore, Rav Zeira, nothing to worry about. They're not going to cause him any tzuris. Good. So Rabbi Rav Yosef are fleeing. Rav Zeira is sticking around. And he said to them, Arukoi, you that are fleeing, you know, like you refugees. That we said, that the kovet can regenerate, that stavka, when it has a kazayis, stavka when it's the mokah mora, right next to the mora. Now we already know from a previous gemara that the mora and the kovet were like neighbors, one next to each other. How do we know? Because back on daf mem gimel, you'll recall the gemara said that if it was nikva hamora, it's treifa, which is what we had in the Mishnah, nikva hamora. However, Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yosef, said the name Rabbi Yochanan, Mora Shenikva V'Kovet Tzois Masa, even though it has a big hole in the Mora, but it is right next to the Kovet, and the two have gotten kind of squished together, so then the Kovet is going to protect the Mora, and it will be able to regenerate and rejuvenate that hole in the Mora, and therefore it's kosher. So we see from that Gemara, even if we're not Bekiyim in the anatomy of an animal, that the Mor and the Kovet are next door neighbors, almost twins. So just like we're saying about this, that the Kovet can save the Mora, here we're saying that the Mora can save the Kovet. That if the Kovet has mostly dissolved, but you still at least have a Kezayis, and the Kezayis is Mokem Mora, meaning on that side, because obviously the Kovet, like the Mora, has different sides to it. So if you're talking about where the Kzayis and the Mora come, not the Kzayis, where the Mora and the Kovet come together, even though the Kovet is never all the way down to a Kzayis, but that's fine, because the Mora will help to in its regeneration by protecting it, so to speak. And, Azoy Zotach Nochmo. So this was Ravad Bar Havas, no, I'm sorry. Sure. But this is Rav Zeira that said, Kzayis Sh'omer Mokamar. Ravad Bar Hava Omar, the Mokim Shihi Chaya. Vada Bahama said, no, the Mokim Shihi Chaya. Now, what means a Mokim Shihi Chaya? So Rashi says, Rashi has two different pshatim in Mokim Shihi Chaya. Number one is that part of the Kovet is underneath the Kloyois. Kloyois are the kidneys. So therefore, if the Mokim Kzayis is underneath the kidneys, that's going to help in the regeneration. And then Rashi has another pshat that we're talking about. It's next to or under the tarpishin. Tarpishin, the English says, means a diaphragm. And Rashi says that that's what we find by the Aymurim. It says in the Pasuk that you put, as part of the Aymurim, the Kovet and the Yoiseres are Kovet. So Rashi said that Yoiseres is the diaphragm. So all of these three different Pshatim come out exactly the same. And is how is it possible that a Kovet, which is all the way down to a small little Kezayis, how is it going to regenerate? It can only regenerate with the help of its neighbors. So, the first neighbor we said is the Mora, which is right next to it. The next neighbor that we said is the Tarpish. Tarpish was the third pshat. The Kloyois, those are the kidneys. And the third pshat is the diaphragm. And therefore, we have a Shaila, or Machloikis in the Gemara, exactly which part of the neighbors has to be the one that's going to help in the regeneration. Now, even though our Gemara says, Kizayish Amru, according to Rashi that we learned before, that we said, oh, we're going to learn about in the Gemara shortly, there we were talking of Ibad Reb Chiya. According to this second shot of Reb Chiya, we're talking about a situation where we didn't even have a Kizayis, and Reb Chiya says, don't worry about it. The COVID is not so important. Yes, regeneration, nish generation. The important thing is at least a mashu who remains, and the behemah is kosher. And Rashi said, but that porta has to be talia b'mara, dishir b'mara, b'inan. So, therefore, really, with Reb Zeira, although Reb Zeira starts off by saying that the kazayis that we're talking about, it's got to be b'mara, according to the way Rashi learns, according to Reb Chiya, even if it's less than a kazayis, it'll only regenerate if it happens to be b'moke mara, and according to Rav Ada Bar Ahava, b'moke shichaya, which is either the cloyus, the kidneys, or the tarbisha, which is the diaphragm. And therefore, Amar Papa, Hilkach, be'inan kizayis b'moke mara, u'be'inan kizayis b'moke shehi chaya. So now, somebody gave me 7.5 years ago, or 15 years ago, the Shtikl Torah, which is identical, I'm not sure it's the same one, from Mendi, but it's identical to it, that we find Rav Papa in the Siyam, every time you Messiah and Masechta, we always were talking about the 10 children of Rav Papa. So he says the reason is because Rav Papa says Hilkach 10 times. Normally it's Hilkach Nemrenu Litravayu. Let's go and merge the two. Here too, Rav Papa says, let's not have a Machloikis. Let's go and adopt both views of Reb Zeira as well as the other man, the Yomer, Rav Ada Bar Ahava, that you have to have a kazayis both in the Mokim Mora and the Mokim Shichaya, which lahalacha, based on the Rashi, we'd have to have three kazayis: a kazayis from Mokim Mora, a kazayis from Mokim Kloyois, and a kazayis from Mokim Tarbisha, which is the diaphragm. Then you know that this Kaveh Emir Hashem will continue to prosper, regenerate, rejuvenate, and the animal is kosher.
How could he incorporate three different opinions? We learned, you know, a couple of pages ago that the Shammai and the Hillel, you know, whoever made took the Umbras on the
Kuhn. Very good. In the Gemara over there said, you're right, if you go and chop on Kulis from everybody, you're called a Rasha. If you chop on Chumras from everybody, then you're considered to be a Ksulim, Choshe Choylech. Here we're talking about a situation where they were not able to determine what the Halacha is. So Rav Papa says, we got to be machmer. Just let's be on the safe side that excites you. Now, that Gemara is talking about that you try to find chumras from all different rabbanim. Right? There's a Shaila, there's a Rabbi Smith, sometimes he's mekel, sometimes he's machmer. There's Rabbi Jones, sometimes he's mekel, sometimes he's machmer. So instead of following always Rabbi Smith or Rabbi Jones, I go and pick the chumras from this one, the chumras from that one. You don't have to do that. Just follow one shita, one ruv, one Rebbe, whoever you follow, and don't chap chumris from everywhere, don't chap kulis from everywhere. Zokti moravaitim. Now we're talking again, once again, about this kazayis. Mislakit mahu. Mislakit mahu means you don't have the full kazayis of kovet all gathered together in one piece, but you have a quarter of a kazayis, and then a little bit further down, you have a half of a kazayis, and you have another quarter of a kazayis. You can add it all together to a kazayis, but they're not b'mokoyim echad. Or kiritzuamau. Kiritzuamau means that you have a slender, slim, long piece of kaved. If you add it all together, it's a sheer kazayis, but it happens to be long instead of being grouped like one ball or one entity. It's a long strip, a very thin strip. Boy Ravashi, kazayis merudin mau. Merudin means that it has been banged down, like you tread on it with your foot or something like that, and then now it's plachik. Instead of being a nice, thick, beautiful kakovid, yeah, it happens to be now squeezed to the ground and flat. What's the shayla? Will this regenerate or not? And all these cases of the Gemara Teiku, tish be attacked. Boyimene Rabzika Mei Rabami, Nidaldala Kovid Umaura Bitar Pesha Mahu. What happens if you have that the kovid is Nidaldel? The daldel, says Rashi, means that the kovid has left its roots, so therefore it's no longer attached to the body properly. But it's more b'tarpesha. The diaphragm, nevertheless, is keeping it intact in place, and so therefore, although it's nostalgic, it is not attached to the normal veins and arteries or membranes or cartilage or tendons, whatever you would normally have. But nevertheless, it still remains stationary within Tarpeshah, within its diaphragm, within its membranes. Mahu. Amalei tolum dildel ze en yodea mahu. I never heard of a shaylef dildel. Ilamad yama makamara ha'ika. As long as you have a kazayis makamara, then you're okay. And in fact, over here we have the entire Mara. It's just that the Mara has been a little bit displaced. It's a little bit dislocated, but it's still intact. As long as it's intact, it's fine. There is no Hilchis Dildo to tell you that it's straight. Yeah. Okay, let's continue on. You have a lungs that has a hole in it. And as we had yesterday, that there are certain parts of the animal that have a double membrane over it. The Rei also has a double membrane over it, and the question is, that nikva is the nekev through the upper membrane, or is it the lower membrane?
Lower.
When we say upper and lower, mean the one that is directly on top of it, that encloses the Rei, that's the bottom one. And then there's an outside one, which is like a sac in which
one is the serious one.
Serious.
When it comes to the brain, the heart, the lung.
Very good. So we gave an example yesterday. If you go to a very silly, simple example, you go to the store and you go and buy tomatoes or potatoes, and you first have to weigh it. So you put it into that one plastic bag and they weigh it. And then afterwards, when you're going home, they put it into another bag. Sometimes here in the West Side, you have to pay for it. Other neighborhoods, you don't have to pay for it. Whatever, it doesn't make a difference. So there's a difference between the kosher marketplace and 60 Skimon. They do charge, don't charge. But the point is, you're now putting one bag into the other bag. So now, where is the nekev that makes the treif? Is it the outer membrane, the outer bag, or the one that's the inner one? So Rabbi Shmuel Ravatsi Damri, krom ilo'o, according to this first shot, that the nekev is in the outer sac, the amri lo, others say, no fakert, krom etato, that the hole is in the inner sac. It's Omer of Yosef, Amri Yumi, Omer of Nachman, v'simonech, the simon to remember is kituna devarda. A vered is a rose, and kituna is from the Russian kisoinis that you have by the kohanim, or you have by Yosef tzaddik, right? Kisoinis Yosef, and kisoinis means a in fancy English a tunic, and the tunic that we're talking about is the varda that has a rose or reddish color. The manchi beireya, in it is the reya. So this is a very nice way of saying that we're talking about the tato'a, that is the sack, which is directly around the reya, as opposed to the external one, which is a little bit removed. So that's the one you have to make sure that it should not have a hole. So that's like the second shot, the amri lakrama tato'a, that the inner one in which you have the reya, that's the ketuna devarda, the manchumei reya, make sure it doesn't have a hole there.
How does the tunic that shirt that someone's wearing is similar to an inner membrane?
Next time, Mitchum, we're going to go to a muck of Shechita. We'll see. We'll take out the ray and we'll see exactly how
wear,
it looks.
What you wear and in which order.
Oh, Zuktimar, Pshita. Iinkav ilo'av le'inkiv tato. If only the outer membrane is the one that has the hole, but the inner membrane is totally intact, then you have nothing to worry about. It's kosher because tato megan. That inner membrane keeps it intact, and this animal can live for another 25 years. Although Agmar says Kidarabba, we'll see in the Yom Veitz really Kidarava. Diyama Rava, Hayreya de Iglid. We had Gluda already a couple of days ago in the Gemara. Gluda means that the outer skin was revealed, it had been removed. Here too, the outer sac that is the Kroma Iloha has been removed. Aba Kahina Sumka. And what's left over, which is the inner one, now we're not talking about a red tunic, now we're talking like a red date. Rashi says at the top, Shinish Eris Bekroma Tachtoin, the Kitamora Aduma. It's like a red date. That's what it looks like. Obviously, it's reddish. Whether it's reddish like a rose tunic or like it's a reddish date, but those are basically the same. Zuktimar, that is if you're talking about that it was Inkiv, the outer one. In fact, not only that it was Inkiv, even if it's removed like a Gluda, you don't longer have the outside shell, but you have that inner one, that's kosher. What happens in tatoa veloyin kiviloy minayin? I'm sorry, megan oiloy megan. What happens if the outer one, Baruch Hashem, does not have a hole, but the inner one does have a hole? Oy, so that means there's a big problem with this reya. Can you rely on the outer one to be megan to protect it so that the animal can continue to survive? Pligi barabach v'ravin echad omer loy megin echad omer megin. Ve'ilchasa megin. It is megin after all. So what the Gemara is concluding is, as long as one of those sacks is intact, whether it's the inner one or the outer one, it's megin. It says gut k'Rav Yosef. What's Rav Yosef? The omer Rav Yosef hayreya di avsha. A reya that is making hissing sounds. Now, why would a reya make hissing sounds? After you shechted it, you have to go and blow up the reya. Years ago, human beings used to go and blow into the kana to see whether it inflates or not. And once it inflates, you'd listen to hear whether or not it had some.
You blow, put it in water.
We're not there yet.
We don't do that anymore.
Right. Nowadays, in the Schlachtheiser, they have a machine that blows into the corner, and then you can look at the whole Reya in all of its glory, and then you'd be able to see how red is red, and why it's called like a tunic, or why it's called like a date. But the point is that you would blow it up, and now you hear a hissing sound. And now you're not sure, wuz ven vi. Zukta Rashi, Zukta of Yosef, Hayrei the Avsha, Iyodinan Hecha Avsha. If you see and hear where the hissing sound is coming from, and you want to know, is this a hissing sound from the outer one, from the inner one, or from both? What you should do is, where you hear that hissing sound, Moslin Allah put on top of it either a gadfa is a feather, a roika or saliva, spittle, or gila, Rashi says, gila means kash, which means straw. If you see now that in the case of the feather it begins to flutter, or in the case of the Reik Regila, Rashi says it begins to shake, it's Mizdazea. Mitnandate, says Rashi. In that situation, then you know obviously that there is a hole in the lungs, and that's why you hear the hissing sound, and that's why the Gadva, Reik, or Gila are now moving in the face of that draft that's coming from inside the Reya, and therefore it's Dreifa. Viloi, however, if you put all those things down and nothing happened, they don't move, they stay in place, it's Ksheira. No, if it's Ksheira, then how come you hear the hissing sounds? So Rashi says that the hissing sound is because there's a hole in the internal membrane, but we just said a moment ago that even though the internal membrane has a hole in it, but the outside one is Megan. And that's why the Gemara said, Megan could Rav Yosef. That's why Rav Yosef said, I hear the hissing sound. I don't see the Gadfa or Roika moving. Must be that it's from internally. Oh, that's okay, because the outside one protects it. Therefore, it's kosher. However, Viliyadinan Hecha Avsha, what happens, you're looking top and bottom, here and there and everywhere, you hear the noise, but you cannot determine where the noise is emanating from. So you can't go and put the Gadfa there to tell whether it's a hole or not. So now this is what our good friend Mr. Shulevitz was telling us a moment ago. Maisinan, you bring Metichlisa Demaya, and Metichlisa Demaya means a very large basin. In it you have water, but not just any water. It's got to be Mayim Pashrim, Mayim Pshuri, lukewarm water. Now you go and put the Reya in it. Don't put it in hot water, the Kavtzi, because then it can contract. And if it contracts, says Rashi, maybe there is an existing...
Because it can freeze in there.
Yeah, that's an extra clue. One at a time. So if it's in hot water, don't do it, because then the Reya can contract, and there was a... Anyway, so there was perhaps a hole there, but because the ray has contracted, you don't see the hole anymore, because now it's tzamengikvetch. You don't see it. Bekriya, don't put it in cold water, loy de matarshi, because it makes it hard and brittle, and therefore now it could be very susceptible to someone touching it and making a hole. So previously there was no hole in it, but now there's a hole because of the fact that it's brittle and hard. Elamasvina mepshuri, rather put into lukewarm water, v'nefchinala, and now blow it up with your blowing machine. Eimavatvitsa, now you see underwater, do you see bubbles coming out? Obviously there's a problem, it's dreifa. V'iloi, but if you don't see any bubbles, then you assume that it's internal. Like we said before, it's ksheira. Why? Because tato inkiv, the innermost membrane is the one that has the nekev in it, and that's why you heard the hissing sound. But from the outside, there was no nekev. And therefore, the Haidi Afsha, where did I hear the hissing from? Zika, the Beni Beniu, that was the one that draft inside, in between the inner and the outer. But as Rav Yosef said, that's kosher, because the outer one is Megan. Yeah.
We hear earlier, if you shech with a hot knife, the Beis HaShlita expands. Only right. From experience, heat expands. Mm-hmm. What is the idea that the heat will cause it to contract? It's counterintuitive.
My good friend.
The Gemara itself said before, you take a knife, knife is hot, and we had the machlok.
What does the word kafzi mean? Kafzi means it shrinks. So what am I supposed to do?
Put a shirt in hot water. It depends
how hot is the knife.
If you have a sweater and you have your wife wash it in the washing machine and it comes out,
it'll shrink.
It should expand. Did you just say before?
When it dries.
I'm sorry.
When it dries.
Okay. So
when it's wet, it's not shrunken. When it's wet, actually, it stretches.
And maybe that's the case over here. The Raya too. You put it into hot water and you would take it out afterwards. You think shrinks. You're not that it shrinks now inside the hot water.
I'm asking generally.
Okay. Anyway, Ruben, you have a shayla. What's the shayla?
If the knife is really hot, like red,
yes, red hot,
and it will absolutely make it separate.
Yeah, it'll cause a lot of tsuris.
If it is warm, okay.
Where does the word warm come from? The word pshuri. Where does the word pshuri come from? I think I've shared this with the oilim before. In the name of my father, Zechariah Nevrucha, that he said the word pshuri, pashrim, comes from the word pshara. Because some want it hot and some want it cold. If you make it lukewarm, you make it pshara. It's a compromise between the hot and the cold. It's lukewarm. You like that, right?
I love it.
Okay.
No machloket.
No machloket.
Not too much right. Not too much right.
Okay. From here,
I love it.
From here, we're going to have a series of halachos psukos of Rava, and that's why we have in the parentheses Ahini Sumka the Yovish Gildi Simon. But it's not going to be just those four. Tahini, the Sumka, the Yavish Gildi, or maybe there's only three, but we're going to have many, many more, not only for today, as you see tomorrow's Gemara, we're going to continue on, the Omer Rava, many halachas of Rava. So, we start on the first halacha. The first halacha we already learned 2 minutes ago, Kufa Omer Rava, Hayreya, the Iglid, Ka'ahina, Sumka Ksher. That was the top of the Omer, the top line. Remember on the bottom of the Omer it said Rava, and we corrected that to Rava. Rava says, Hayreya, the iglid means that the outside membrane, that the upper one, was iglid, was removed, fell apart, whatever, snijda. However, the good news that the middle one, that is the inner one, is Baruch Hashem still intact, and it looks kahina sumka like a red date, ksheira, it's still kosher, because I don't need the outer membrane, or I don't need both of them, as long as I have one of them which is still intact, it's kushav yush. V'yomarav, reya shehedima, Miktsasa ksheira kula treifa. So what means reya shehedima? So Rashi uses a fancy French term over here, shehedima. Rashi's parallel to our Gemara, shankutra. Then they have a vav, what's my divusuk the vav? Sofug dam. That's hagoyish tzionim. Sofug dam means it's like a sponge that has absorbed a lot of blood. And the art scroll also brings this shankutra, then old French word. Shankutra, whatever. And it means that there was a lot of blood that was absorbed in the outer part of the ray. Now the question is, does that mean that there is a hole here and that's where the blood is coming from? So Gemara, lav dafka. Shadima miktsasa, if part of it has, it's reddish because of blood, it's still kosher. Kula, however, is treifa. Then if it's bloody all over, a bloody mess, then it's treifa. Why by mixus you say it's kosher? Because you feel the hadrabari. It's going to rejuvenate and regenerate. It's kulanami hadrabari. And then even if you have blood all over, you have nothing to worry about. It's going to regenerate. Miloy tanya, didn't we learn in the braisa? Vishar shkotzim uramasim achiyetz mehem dam. Now what is this all about? So now we're leaving for a moment Hilchos Tarfus and we're going to Hilchos Shabbos. And we're talking about someone that went and gave a hit with either stepped on or took a baseball bat or whatever and hit Shkotzim Urumasim. Now, when we normally talk about Shrotzim in the Gemara, we're talking about the Shmoyne Shrotzim. Initially, we're not talking about the Shmoyne Shrotzim, initially, we're talking about Shar Shkotzim Urumasim. Or the different types of creeping critters, ich weiß, like a water bug, and that's a shar shkotzim rosim. Atchiyetzim indam. If somebody hit them on Shabbos, one would be chayiv on chovel. Chovel is one of the lametes malachis that you cause a either a human being or lahavdil an animal or even a creeping critter to have dam coming out. Then you over are making a chabura, and it's called netilas neshama, and then you chayiv on one of the lametes malachis. Okay, so now there's a difference, however, between the regular shmoyne shrotim and the shar shkotzim urumasim. What's the difference? The shmoyne shrotim have a thick skin to them, while the shar shkotzim urumasim have a very thin skin to them. As far as the shmoyne shrotim, as soon as a person were to hit them, maybe with this tissue box, that's why we left it here, right? He hit the shar, one of the shmoyne shrotim with the tissue box, and then you see that it gets, if you will, like a black and blue mark. So you see that there is dam underneath the surface. Mm-hmm. You already chayv on choyvel. The reason for that is, the Gemara Rashi says, because eventually this blood will come out. So even though you don't see it yet, give it a chance. The blood is already gathered together right underneath the surface. And the reason why it hasn't come out yet, because it's a thick skin, but it'll come out eventually. So even before it's yotzer, if you skip a line or two, you'll see. We're talking about the Shabbos.
So it's taking blood thinners.
If you skip a line, you see v'chitem l'shmoyne shrotzim and demina lo, the sign we learn that the b'risa nitzer hadam, the dam has coagulated, it has gathered, even though it has not left the skin of the animal, of the sheret, it's still underneath the surface, you're ready chayiv on choyvel on Shabbos. However, that's dafka with the shmoyne shrotzim. Shar shkotzim u'masim, that have a very thin skin, then if there's dam underneath it, we do not assume that it's going to come out, or at least you're not chayiv at that point. You're only going to be chayiv choyvel at sheyetzim dam when the dam actually comes out. Otherwise, we assume the dam is going to settle and remain within the shkotzim u'matzim, and it's not going to come out, and you will not be chayiv on choyvel b'shabbos until it actually bleeds, when you actually see the blood. And so therefore, the Gemara at least at this point in the Havamina assumes that the membrane around the Raya is made of a similar type of material, at least it's similarly thin, just like the skin of the Shkotzim or Amasim. As long as the blood didn't go out, it'll stay under the surface, and this you will not be over on Choyvel B'Shabbos, and you don't have to worry about that in the case of our Raya, even though there's blood underneath the surface, and that's why you see it's reddish. Nothing to worry about. Nevertheless, it's still kusha. So now the Gemara is asking, why, Rav, are you distinguishing between mikzasa and kula? Presumably, says Rav Vinil Rav, mikzasa my time in the hadrabari, because you feel it's going to regenerate and rejuvenate. Kula nami hadrabari, even if the entire lungs you see underneath the surface, that it's reddish, and that's why you see that the oyer on top is all red because of subterranean blood underneath it, even if the whole thing had blood from all sides, Milatanya. Didn't we learn that the price for Shah Shkotzam? So it makes no difference whether it's mixes or whether it's kulai, as long as the dam hasn't started bleeding from the outside, it's still underneath the surface, it's kusha. Fucking time you're gonna tell me the Shmoyne Shiratzim and Dina Milah. No, we should go and compare it not to the Shar Shkotzim, but the Shmoyne Shiratzim, which have the thicker skin, the Sanya. Nitzer Nama Bishol Yotza, what's the din? It's already over on Choyvel, even before the blood came out. So I should go and say by the Ray the same thing, that even by Mitzasa, it should already be ruined and trefa. So why are you distinguishing between the Mitzas and the Kulay? So to my Eloishna, there's no difference between Kuloi and Mitzis, says Rava, or at least Ravina says to Rava, it'll always be kosher unless and until the blood actually comes out. But if its blood is under the surface, even though it looks all reddish from the outside, it's still kosher. The Amar Rava. I'm sorry, Nahum? That's for different purposes. That you're talking about, like, Gabe, a person that person who's having his first bia on Shabbos. So you go and say that the blood of the hymen and the blood of that area, so you say that it's mitzvah pocket or mivla bala. Because when you're breaking through, it's like, are you saying that lahavdul, you have a this, let's assume that this contained in it red borscht. Now it was totally sealed, and now you're cutting into it. Are you saying now that you have committed a choivel because the borscht is now bleeding and it's coming out? No, it's coming out because it's enclosed within this particular bottle. So they're the same thing. You have in Masechtas Ksuvos, so you say that the blood is mivla bala, and therefore you're breaking it, and now you caused a chabura or a chavala, and that's why the Gemara entertains the idea not to have the first beer on Shabbos, so you shouldn't go and do that. Or do you say, no, it's mifkat pocket. It happens to be like in a container, and you're just opening up, you're breaking open the container, and now the blood is coming down, but you didn't cause any bleeding of the person. Okay, anyway, that's a separate shayla. Getting back to us. So, Amar Rava, Reya Shiyavsha. What happens if you find that the Reya, which is normally vibrant and smooth and moist and all the rest, guess what? Yavsha, it's all dried out like something dry, like dried raisins. What's the difference? Miktsasa Treifa. If part of the Reya has been Yavsha, so it's really not that part is Yavsha. No, it means Yavsha Miktsasa, it's partially dried out. Then it's treifa. The kama, what is a partial dry out? The kama, rapapim, she made the rava, kileisha tifrach bitzipoyrin. Tifrach bitzipoyrin means that if you go and take your nail and you go against it, like this, well, is it so brittle and so dry that it's going to go and begin to crumble as a result of your sticking your nail into it or not? So that's the shear of yofshim miktos. So zimar kiman l'choy, that's just like a b'yoysim b'nem sholem. Desanya, we learned the gabi hilchoy's Balmum by Ebchor. If you have a behemoth that has, the mushal, its oizen, its ear has dried out, says the Gemara, says the Braisa, that a dried out ear of a Bechor will make it into a Balmum, and therefore you won't have to go and bring it as a carbon. You can go and eat it outside the Beis Medrash. So now, sorry?
Chulin plus.
Very good, very good. So the Gemara, Ezihi Yavesha, what is the shear of Yavesha that it's dried out? Says the Tanakamishim Tinokif, if you make a nekiv in that ear, it is so dried out that no blood emanates. But Rabbi Yosef Meshulam said, no, now that's not enough. It's got to be Yavesha, Kadesha, Tein, Nefrechas, Bitsipoyin. Even before you cut it, you just go and touch it with your fingernail, and guess what? It already begins to crumble into pieces. That's really Yavesha. That's really dry. So the Gemara says, the Choyra, that's Ara Papi Mishmei the Rabba. Though in Rav they said Reish Yavshim Miktasa, it's Treifa, and he said, "What's the Shir Kadesh Tivuch Bitzipayin?" That's just like Rabbi Yosef Meshulam holds. So would you say that the Tana Kama disagrees? And he would say, "No, it doesn't have to be that dry. It's enough, even if it's dry enough that if you make a hole, Ena Mitzia Tipas Dam." It could be that our Rav is going even according to Rabbanan. Why? Because there's a fundamental difference between a lung and between a dried out ear.
Right.
What's the difference?
One's
outside and inside, exactly. And the ear can get to the ear, but the ear cannot get to the lungs, except if they go through the windpipe.
Right.
But they don't go and directly go from the outside. Oh. Where there are drafts and winds all the time, it is exposed to the elements, to the winds, to the air. Once it becomes dried out, even if it's only like the Tanakhama says, this is not going to regenerate. It's dead. This is a dead oizen, and therefore this bechor is a permanent balmum. There is no aver that is shoyle within the body structure, within the body cavity, and so therefore, if you only have the Tanakhamas, it could regenerate hadrabari. So to make sure that it's a real treifa, it's got to be not just yavsha, the ein mitzia dam, and it's got to be kiteshi etin afreches betzipar. So therefore, everybody could agree in our case that that is the shear of yavashas, no machlekes. V'yomer Rava, hay reya de kaima gildi uchmi chazusa ksheir. It sounds like we have three separate cases. We have gildi uchmi chazusa, uchmi chazusa are just modifying gildi. What is gildi? Gildi means you have scab-like spots on the outside of the rea. It looks like a scab, feels like a scab. If it happens to be uchmi, there are black such scabs, kosher. Chazusa, if it's other colors, other than the typical treifis colors, says Rashi, such as red, and or yellow-green, those are considered to be the typical treifas colors, then that would be a problem. This chazusa means any other colors, it's okay, because this gildy, these scabs from the outside, this is gunish and it's kosher. Omra meim mishmi derava, ein makifin bebui. A bua in this case means a blister. You have blisters on the outside of the lungs. And in the blister, you have a hole in one of the blisters. And you're wondering, it's after the shechita, how did that hole get there? Was the hole there prior to the shechita? Or perhaps now when they're cutting open the animal and they are going to take out the reya together with all the other innards, now maybe in the handling, now you got that hole in the blister. So tomorrow, Mitchum, we're going to go and say that what you can do is if you have just a regular hole in the lungs, and you're not sure is this a brand new one that happened post-mortem, or this happened pre-mortem, go and make another hole right next to it in the lungs, and then compare the two. If it looks similar to the first one, then you know it happened post-shechita. Uh-huh. If, however, it looks different, then you know it happened pre-shechita. That's only if you're talking about a regular hole in the lung. But here we're talking about a hole in the blister in the lung. So Rashi says that this could quickly change color from 1 minute to the next. So therefore, by taking another blister and making a hole in it, you really cannot tell. So if you take a quick look at the Rashi, second wide line, first wide line is gildy, klipois. It's like scabs on the outside. Crustish, it's become crusty on the outside. If the uchmi, that they're shchayrus, if they're black. Chazusa, if the gavonim, different colors. But dafka hanach gavonim, the loy mitchafabahu. Kikoin aduma viruka, as we'll see in Mitchum, the kamon in the Kamaris. It's a different color, like black. Black is normally not a color of tarfis, but that's okay. Ein makifim babui. This is the key Rashi here. Bua, you have that blister, shenikva bereya, that had a hole in it, in the reya. Heichel mashish yoda de tafcha, lekel metlaya de tafcha. It wasn't the shoichet that touched it. He had nothing to do with that. Vein yiduim kodim shechita malachah shechita. But I don't know how this hole got into the blister before or after shechita. Ein meviim bua acheres. Don't go and bring another blister on the same lung. And lahakif, to go and bring it next to it, ulakarav etzla ulanoikva, v'lirois immar hanekobim shavim, kenarim lekamon, as we'll see in Mech Hashem, another couple of blat, makifin bereya, makifin means to bring things together, one next to each other, and make a parallel inspection, the hanimi lereya, that's if there was a hole in the reya itself, avakimin shenazit babur, since there's a blister on the outside of the reya, ein maranikir bosha, osa lishtaris kosha, and admit it, it can change from white to red, to green, to blue, to yellow, maybe it had previously another appearance and now it's changed. Means okay. Anyway, so back to our Gemara. Therefore, by blisters, you really can't be makif and compare one hole to the other. Be Amar Rav. Yes. I'm sorry, Nachamu.
You can't compare it to your machmer.
You have to be machmer. Yeah. All these shyness, the gabe tarifus.
Didn't we hear a few days ago that if the lungs are like dikla, are like dry? How is that different from the dryness we're talking here? Do you remember the Gemara?
I remember the Gemara, but we'd have to look up to see whether there's a distinction. Okay. But you see, even the gabe, the case of the oizen habachar, there's a difference in the degree of yevashis.
Okay.
Some yevashis is more, some yevashis is less. The Amar of Ani Tarti Uni, the Surich Lahadoni Les Lubitika. Uni are the bronchi in a reya. We're going to talk about this more tomorrow and in the future. There are actually three umois and two unois. Umois are the larger cavities or the larger bronchi. Unois are the smaller ones. But here the Gemara is really not differentiating between one and the other. I'm sorry?
Aviola.
Aviola are even the smaller ones which are inside the bronchi. Okay, anyway, speak to a scientist. Maybe I am speaking to a scientist. Okay. If you have the two unis which are attached to one another, by the way, the word sircha that we talk about in the lungs comes from the same word, srichin, which the fancy English word is an adhesion. Mm-hmm. Here we're not talking about an adhesion, we're talking about the two are connected because almost like glued together. Let's do Bedika. Bedika is not going to go and help. Why won't the Bedika help? Because since they are attached to one another, maybe there's a hole in between, and that's why, that's how they in fact got that adhesive, and that's why it got that adhesion, that's why they're connected. It's only if they're not in the right Seder. Now, what does it mean, the right Seder? Mitchum, when we see more pictures, we'll find out that on the right side of the lungs, where's the right side? It depends which side you look at it. Could be upside down, right side up. Yeah.
Yeah, can, right can side. Tell color.
Exactly.
Of course.
There are three. Sorry?
Looking at it.
You have three unois on the right, and you have only two unois on the left. And so therefore, what the Gemara is telling us is, if one and two, or two and three, are tzedamigikven.
This is
a beautiful, beautiful picture. Yes, well, thank you very much. Do you like these colors too?
Yeah.
Okay,
I can tell ruby.
We know that you can tell.
Ruby, I was number one in the world.
Really?
People ask me, what ruby is better? Psh. I look the color. I say,
gotta go.
Yeah,
okay. Beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah.
Anyways, the bottom line is, if it's one and three, right? You have three unois on the right hand side.
Yes.
If one and three have an adhesion, they are like
in kvetched, right.
They're tzamigikvetched, and they are, you can't easily rip them apart, then it's straight. However, if it's kisidron, one and two, or two and three, that's normal, because after all, it's in their neighbors, and they're inside the body of the animals, it doesn't take much for them to get tzamigikvetched and become like one, and then it would be kosher. Have a wonderful day, Zagi Ben Shalom.